Okay, so we left off last time discussing the kulos of begadim tivonim in the world of ksamim. So just conclude with a couple further observations about what we discussed last time. As we mentioned, what I thought was a surprising citation of Rav Yashiv, that black skin would be considered to be matzil min aksamim. I just want to note that in the Sefer Mishmar Satara, Rabbi Karp, who is very close to Rav Yashiv and close to Rav Yashiv's psakim in every other paragraph, more or less, he assumes it's a davar pasha like Eben Osai saw in print, that black skin does not constitute tzivonim, and he quotes nothing to the contrary from Rav Yashiv. So just to note that. The other thing I wanted to note was we discussed last time the presentation of the Tzitz Eliezer, who thought, quoting some earlier some others who said this as well, that the Chachmas Adam, when he connects Hilchas Ksam to Hilchas Negayim, was suggesting that the basis of the Kula of Begadim Sivonim is somewhat rooted in Hilchas Negayim. And we noted that that's somewhat problematic in light of some of the Gemaras and some of the details in Hilchas Ksamim. And the fact that none of the Shalim quote such a reason, and we have Rashi of the presentation on Begad Savu is different than the presentation on Begad Lavan, and no connection to Negayim. So I noticed that in Rabbi Karp Sefer, he doesn't think that is what the Chachmas Sada means. And the Chachmas Sada says that Oros Tziv Onos Bide Shemayim Mitamim Bin Negayim Bixamim, that if you have naturally colored skins, hides, that they are mekablik samim, just the way they're tamim betumas negayim. All these highlighting is the fact that these are not things that have been fashioned into a kli, and since they're not fashioned into a kli, they don't have the kula of tzivonim, because the kula of tzivonim is limited to begadim and kelim. But the Chacham Sadam didn't mean to present some far-reaching equation that whatever is true in hilchos negei batim is true in hilchos samim. Okay, so those are just two follow-up aros on what we discussed last time. Rav Avadia, in the Taras Abayis on page Tough Days, writes that in any situation in which a woman sees a kesem, even if it's Ravadi writes that any time a woman sees a kesem, which is a problematic kesem, a kesem that will render a tmeya, a kesem that's yosim mikigris, and on a begad lavan, and on a davar mekabel tuma, so even though that renders a tmeya, and even though she has to now be mastic betara, and she has to count shiva nekiyim, nevertheless, that kesem isn't significant in the world of vestos. That kesem doesn't establish a vest. Ravadia thinks that's davar pasha, especially because if you're going to tell a woman, scratch that. Let's restart. I'm working on limited sleep. Okay, start again. Ravadia writes on page Tough Bays that if a woman sees a kesem which has kulas ksamim, a kesem that is an adavar in a makabel tumba, a kesem in a beget sabua, a kesem that we're not going to be metamehir. So if we're not going to be metamehir for that kesem, then she also has no obligation to do a bedika. After all, if you're going to tell her to do a bedika to make sure that there's nothing else going on, that's going to potentially be makalkal her. You have a kesem which she doesn't have to be choshish for, it's a kesem that is not a mare tame. So she remains tahara. And if she remains tahara, there's no need to be mechayev her to do bedika. Rav Ozner writes in the Shirei Shevet Alevi that even though that's the case, and you don't find any precedent in Rishonim or in Poskim to be mechayev a bedika under these circumstances, meaning any time you have a kesem that is tahara, she has no obligation to do bedika. Nevertheless, the Rav Ozner suggests that maybe it would be appropriate if a woman does see a kesem which is yoser mi macholas shebizmanenu, if it's larger than the size of a contemporary macholas, which we described in the past as being about a third of the size of a gris, So if a woman sees a kesen that's more than the size of a macholos v'zmanenu, then Rav Vosner says it may be appropriate to do a bedika. And then Rav Avadya notes in the Taras Abayis, he quotes some others, I quote from Ilviyasha, the same thing as well. Rabbi Tendler, apparently, in his English Sefer and Hilchos Nidah, says the same thing also, though I haven't seen it in print, inside. And I heard also the name of Shlomo Zalman, that Shlomo Zalman said something similar as well. The general orientation of Poskim and Armachana is not to require Bedika, and that's Rav Avadya's orientation as well, even though Rav Avadya acknowledges that the argument of the Shevet Alevi and what he was from Rav Yashiv is now without merit, and there would be grounds to be machmir if a woman does see a kesem yoser mishir macholos bizmanenu, but the orientation, I think, more around here, or at least Rabbi Willig and others, is to be mekel, not to ever be mechayiv abedika, simply on the basis of a kesem which is a mare tahor. Even though, as we said in the past, it would be appropriate, or perhaps obligatory, to be parish in the aftermath of seeing that kesem. Okay, that's one further observation in Hilchos Tzomim. So now, what I erroneously began to conflate a few minutes ago. If you look in Sif Nundalud, which is the last Sif in Hilchos Kuvtzadi, the Mechaber Paskins Ein Biksamim Mishum Vest, that a Kesem doesn't create a vest. So even if a woman sees a Kesem, which is a Kesem that makes her Tmeya Midrabanim, she sees Dam below Hargasha Yoser Mikagris, she sees it on a Dover HaMekabel Tumah, she sees it on a Beged Lavan. So even though the Kesem makes her Tmeya to the extent that she has to be Masa Gitara and she has to count Shiva Nikiyam, nevertheless, that Kesem doesn't create a vest, and there's no Chi Aprisha Samach LaVest whenever, let's say, on that calendrical day in the next cycle, she wouldn't have to be Poish. That is the Psak of the Mechaber here, based on the Ravid in Bali Nefesh, which is quoted here in the Beis Yosef. What's the reasoning of the Ravid? After all, if Rav Machmir ad kedei kach to render her Tumeya and to require a hope counting Hefsek Tara and Shiva Nekiyam, why aren't Rav Machmir for Vestos as well? So the way Rav Avadya explains it, slightly embellishing what the Ravid writes, is that the whole institution of Ksamim anyway is only an institution derabana. The din of Prisha Samach Leves, according to many Rishonim, the Ravid among them, is also a din derabana. Even though it's true that according to the Bali Tosos, Prisha Samach Leves is a din deraisa, and we'll talk about all these things when we get to them at the right time. This is just in the Kesem context. So even though there is a position Rishonim that Prisha Samach Leves is a din deraisa, most Rishonim assume that Prisha Samach Levest is a din derabanan. So since Ksamim themselves are only Chumar derabanan, so we don't require a Prisha Samach Levest for a Kesem. And even according to those who shown him that hold that Prisha Samach Levest is deraisa, Rav Avadya writes, it's not a full deraisa, maybe it's only kind of a smach deraisa, and it doesn't apply to this extent. Rav Moshe writes something similar in Igros Moshe Yeridea Chelik Beis Simin Samich Ches, namely that we're not going to be Machmir Ad Kedei Kach, even if you hold that Prisha Samach Levest is Daraisa, because Prisha Samach Levest, even if it's Daraisa, is only a Safek, meaning the reason you have to be Poish is because of a Safek, then maybe she'll have the Re'iyah on the Yom HaVest. And anyway, since we're dealing with Sveikos, we're not going to add another suffix to the equation, so there's no need to calculate Vestos on the basis of a Kesem. Okay, so that is the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Ravid in Bali Nefesh. If you take a look here at the Torah Sashlamim in Sif Katan Nun Ches writes that when the Mechaber says, Ein Miksav Shem Vest, Afilu b'yishena, that even if a woman is sleeping and then wakes up the next morning to find a kethem, which renders her tameya. Nevertheless, that doesn't establish a vest, because bottom line, there's no hargasha. You might have thought that maybe if she was sleeping, there was a hargasha, and she just didn't notice it because she was sleeping, and maybe it'd have to be machmir to calculate a vest on the basis of that kethem. So the Torah Sarsama tells you that is not the case. And this is a theme of the Torah Sashlamim. If you look back at the Torah Sashlamim in Sivkata Nun, there he takes issue with a levush. In the context of Tlios, the levush there had argued that in a situation in which you have a beged that has a kesem on it, and we don't know whether it's attributable to woman A or woman B, and we know that at the time woman B was sleeping and woman A was awake, so the Levush says you should more likely attribute the kesem to the woman who's sleeping, because it's likely that she may have had a hargasha while she's sleeping and hadn't noticed it. And the Torah Sashami takes issue with that and says, no, we assume that there's no distinction between a woman who's sleeping and a woman who's awake. After all, the Gemara in Nida Daf Gimel seems to indicate that a woman will have hargasha even if she is sleeping. So based on that, the Torah Sashami says that we do not distinguish between a waking woman and a sleeping woman, not in terms of tlios for ksamim, and not in terms of requiring a calculation of a vest for a kesem found while sleeping. There is an interesting line in Tshuvas Shevet Halevi, in Chela Gimel, Simen Kuf Yutes Oz Zayin. Again, Chela Gimel, Simen Kuf Yutes Oz Zayin. So there the Shevet Halevi has small paragraph Pesachim and Hilchot Samim, I think, which are reproduced in the Shiurei Shevet Halevi al Shulchan Aruch. So there he says, even though in principle we accept the Torah Sashlamim and we don't distinguish between a woman who's awake and a woman who's sleeping who sees a kesem in terms of not requiring a calculation of a vest, nevertheless he thinks that if a woman is on sleeping pills, then maybe there we would be choshesh, because a sleeping pill is going to put her in a much deeper sleep and is going to prevent the possibility of noticing a hargasha. So he has such a suggestion. Rav Avadya doesn't think that's so compelling, because Rav Avadya writes on page in the beginning of the Tufts, I don't think I have the exact page in front of me. Maybe in page Tuf Beis. Ravadia writes that even if a woman is taking sleeping pills, often she will still get up to go to the bathroom. The Gemara assumes some kind of parallel kind of hargasha is the hargasha that a woman experiences together with the Riyas Dam. So if a woman's going to get up for going to the bathroom, then she may as well just get up, or may just as well get up for a hargasha. And anyway, as we've discussed, the somewhat dubious question of what hargasha is benenu as it is. Bottom line, the general consensus seems to be that we don't distinguish in halacha between a kesem on a sleeping woman and a kesem on a awake woman. If we're going to be machmir to be mitame here, will be machmir across the board, and we would be mekel not to calculate a vest on that basis, even if a woman is sleeping. Okay. Ramosha addresses briefly the following question. In that same shuva that I referenced a few minutes ago, Yoredei Chelik Beis Simen Samiches, Ramosha addresses, let's say a woman sees a kesem, and she goes to ask the Rav the Shaila as to whether the kesem is a maratame or maratahar, and then before she gets the answer back, or before she asks the question, she has a full-fledged Riya. So let's say she sees a kesem on Sunday, and she sends the Shaila to the Rav, and on Monday she has a full-fledged Riya, And in the meantime, she got the answer back that the kesem is a mara tame. Sorry, and the Ramosha actually asked the question the other way. The Ramosha asked the question as follows. The woman has a sees a kesem on Sunday, and the Rav paskins that it's a mara tahor. Fine. But she was parish anyway. And then the next day, she sees a full-fledged Ria. So the fact that she was parish wasn't because of the Psak or the Rav, because it turned out that the Mara was paskin as being tahor. But nevertheless, it turned out that she had been parish, and with a retrospective view, it's reasonable to assume that the kesem that she saw on Sunday was a harbinger of the full-fledged Ria that she began on Monday. So in that situation, can you count the kesem on Sunday as day one of your count of 5 days prior to a hefsek tara? So Moshe writes that if they never asked the shaila to the Rav, mm-hmm. and they were poresh because they suspected that the kesem is problematic, so then you could count that day as day one. If they ask the shaila to the Rav, and the Rav paskin that the kesem is not problematic, so even if she de facto was parish anyway, then you don't have the right to count that Sunday as day one of your 5 days towards the Hefsek Tara. So if there is a psak that the kesem was tameh, or if there is no psak and you're parish anyway, then you could count it as day one. If there was a psak that the kesem was tahor, even if she was parish nevertheless, then you cannot count day one. That's what Moshe writes. So Rabbi Willig just points out that based on his approach, that anytime you see a kesem, you should be parish for 24 hours midina, then you have the right, and under all circumstances, to count that day of the kesem is day one towards your count of 5 days if it ends up leading to a ria on the second day. Okay. Let's just discuss briefly the difference between an Eid HaBaduk and an Eid She'ein HaBaduk. So we've discussed in the past that Kulos Ksamim do not generally apply to a Bedika. That if a woman does a Bedika and there's a Mara found on that Bedika, so then even if it's Pachas Migris, even if it's a tiny bit of red, that's going to render the woman Tameya. But there is a distinction in halacha between an Eid HaBaduk, a Bedika cloth, or a garment which is checked ahead of time and found to be clean, and an Eid She'ein HaBaduk, a garment which had not been checked, but perhaps there's a possibility that it had some stain on it beforehand that you hadn't noticed. So in Shulchan Aruch here in Sif Lamed Gimel, as far as an Eid HaBaduk, we paskin pretty straightforwardly. Ha'isha Shabaka Atzma Be'ed HaBaduk La, so if a woman does a Bedika with an Eid HaBaduk, V'nim Salav Afila Tipika Chardol, even if there's a small amount of Dam found on the Bedika cloth, whatever presentation it has, she is Tameya. So that's the din of an Eid HaBaduk. As far as the din of an Eid She'ein HaBaduk, that's a Machlokas in the Gemara, and Daf Yudalit Amin Aleph. So just briefly, the Gemara here has, towards the bottom of Yidal Menu Aleph, Badka be'eit she'ein abadik la v'nichasa b'kofsa. So a woman does a bedika in an eit she'ein abadik, a non-pre-checked cloth. So she didn't check ahead of time whether there's anything on this aid. V'nichasa b'kofsa, and she put in a box. L'macher matzah lav dam, and then the next day she finds dam on this bedika cloth. Rabbi Omer Tamei Mishim Nida, Rabbi Chia Omer Tamei Mishim Kesem. So Rabbi says she's Tamei Mishim Nida, Rashi explains Tum of Adais, that we assume that since she did a Bedika with this aid, so Cheskas Damim is Mimena. So we assume that she's a Nida Bivados. And Chia says that she's Tamei Mishim Kesem, Klomer Tuma Safek Vitolin, that she's Tamei Misafek. And then later on, the Gemara has the position of Rav Yossi that she is Tahora. And the Gemara equates this Rabbi Yossi to the Rabbi Yossi that you'll encounter if you haven't yet started the sugya in the beginning of the ninth parak of Isha Sha'asa Tzarachah. So within Shitas Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi and Rabbi Chiya may not be that far apart. It may be essentially the same Shita with the difference as to whether it's Mida Araisa or Misafik. The Ritva points out over here that when the Gemara says Mishum Kesem, it doesn't mean Kesem and all the Kulas of Ksavim necessarily. It's just an expression for Misafik, which we'll see may be important in a few moments. Okay, so again, Rebbe says Tmei Mishum Nida, Rebbe Chiya says Tmei Mishum Kesem, and Rebbe Yossi says Tahora. What do we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? So take a look over here in Se'if Lamed Vav. So Mechaber paskins Badka Asma Be'ed She'eno Badukla. If a woman does a Bedika with an aid She'eno Baduk, even if after you did the bedikah you put in a box and then you take it out and you see dam, I'm going to read it with the Ramah's added words. So she is Tameya, but she's only Tameya if it's Yoser Mikigris. So as opposed to an Eid HaBaduk, where the woman's going to be Tameya even with a Tipas Dam Kichardol, by an Eid She'eno Baduk, she's only going to be Tameya if it has a sheer Gris. And the Ramah writes over here, V'dafka be'eid beinoni. When we talk about an eid she'eino baduk la, where she is going to be tmeya b'shir gris, that's talking about what the Ramah terms here an eid beinoni. What's an eid beinoni? Dahainu she'ein cheskasa baduk v'lo miluchlach. We don't have any reason to believe that it was stained, but we also didn't check it. Eid beinoni means we don't know whether it's dirty or not. We haven't looked at it at all. If you take a piece of cloth out of the garbage where you know that it was already dirty, but if you take something from an area where you know there was dam, and the presumption is that there is dam on this garment or this piece of cloth because you haven't checked it, and then the nimsalav kesem, tahora afil yosim mikigris. So then you have the right to be tola on the fact that this beged was in an area that had dam, and you can be makel even yosir mikigris. So when we talk about an eid she'eino baduk being metameher b'shir gris, that means an eid she'eino baduk totally, but it's what the Ramah refers to as an eid benoni, where we haven't checked it, but we also have no reason to believe that is necessarily soiled or bloodied. Okay. So as we noted a few moments ago, when the Gemara says Reb Chiya's position that she's Tameya Mishum Kesem, Kesem doesn't necessarily mean that you have all Kulos Kesamim. And along these lines, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav Paskins over here in Sifkat and Ayin. As far as I know, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav did not have access to the Ritva on Maseches Nida. I think the Ksav Yavud discovered sometime later. But he essentially writes the same thing, that the standard Kulos Ksamim, let's say Dar She'eino Mekabel Tuma, doesn't apply to an Eid She'eino Baduk. So an Eid She'eino Baduk, even if it is a Eid which is Eino Mekabel Tuma, so you don't have the right to be Mekel on a Kesem that you find on that basis. So if it's Pachos Mikigris, you could be Mekel for that reason. But we're not Mekel on the other Kulos Ksamim by an Eid She'eino Baduk. The Chasam Sofer that the Piskei Tshuva quotes over here, Piskei Tshuva in Sifkat and Mem, quotes the Chasam Sofer at Simen Kuf Nun, that even this Kula of Shir Gris is questionable when it comes to an Eid She'eino Baduk. The Chasam Sofer paskins that you only have the right to be tola an eid she'eino baduk on the shir macholas shebizmaneinu. I think we quoted this Chasam Sofer earlier when we were talking about the shir gris, but it was in this context that the Chasam Sofer writes that even though in general, when it comes to the establishment of kulas ksamim and the fact that we're allowed to be makel up to a gris on the basis of the macholas bizmaneim, on the basis of the size of your standard macholas that existed bizman chazal, when we establish the kulas and chumros of ksamim, However, when it comes to a bidika, where your starting point is different, because when it comes to bidika, we know that the bidika cloth went into the woman's body. So then the presumption is going to be, unless you have strong evidence to the contrary, the presumption is going to be that the source of the dam is mimena. So there, the threshold of proving otherwise is higher. So the Chasam Sofer argues that you only have the right to be mekel even by an eino baduk, based on a macholes shebizmanenu, which, as we said, is about the third of the size of a gris. So that is the psak of the Chasam Sofer here in the Pesachei Shuvah Sifkatan Mem. The Badi Shulchan suggests, taking this one step further, Badi Shulchan here in Sifkatan Shin Lamed Aleph, that if you're in a place where you don't have macholoses at all, you don't have any blood-letting bugs, so then you have no right to be tola and an Eichein Abaduk at all, even less than the shear of a macholos shebizmanenu. Even if you know that if there are lice in some parts of the world, and the lice in those parts of the world have a circumference of 6 millimeters, but in the city where you live there are no lice at all, so then you have no right to be told even up to that shear, even on an aid she'eino baduk. So that's taking the Chasam Sofer even a bit further, but not an illogical conclusion. In the other direction, Rav Avadia notes in on page Tafnun that many Achronim argue on the Chasam Sofer, among them the Sidrei Tara, and he thinks that we paskin against the Chasam Sofer, that if you have an aid she'eino baduk, then you have the right to be mekel up to a shear gris even nowadays. Okay. If you look here in Sif Lamed Dalid, the Mechaber Paskins, again, these are Gemaras in Haroah Kesem. Bad ka asma be'eda badukla v'nichasa tachas hakara tachas hakeses. The woman does a bedika with eid habaduk, and then she puts it under the pillow. V'lamachar nimsa lav dam, and then you find dam. Im mashuch t'meya shechaskasa me'yakinuach. Vim agol v'im bo kagris v'od tahora she'ein ze eladam macholot shenegar tachasakar. So if the presentation of the dam lends itself to being the product of a macholos based on the shape, and there is enough circumstantial possibility that since it was under the pillow and macholoses hang out in beds, then maybe it's a product of a macholos. So then, even though it was an eid habaduk, you could be mekel. Just take a look at the Daglam Rivava here. The Daglam Rivava writes, "Leni yastaiti de begimel yomim rishonim shel shivanakiyim tmeya," that this kula doesn't apply during the first 3 days of shivanakiyim. Dehad de kasem pachos mi kegris tahor af begimel yomim rishonim hu mishum de imlokein ein shum isha yichol itayr. So the Ramah in Simen Kuf Sarivav, which we'll discuss in its context when we get there, but I think we've alluded to it earlier, quotes in Shemes Hadeshen that not all kulos ksamim apply during the first 3 days of Shiva Nikiyim, but some kulos, namely the shear of Pachas Mikigris, applies, because if we didn't have that allowance, then because ksamim of small sizes are so common, it would be difficult for women to ever become tahora. But the Truman Sedeshan writes, the Dagal Mevavar writes here, Avakanchi be'eich abodekes v'efshar lalizayr ein lahatir begil miyam rishonim. So yeah, that kula that we're not machmir on pachos mikigris during the first 3 days, that applies in general, because otherwise it would be impossible for a woman to become Torah. But here it's a much more limited situation. We're talking about bimekel on an aid. An aid you are much more careful about, the bedika cloth. So that even if we're going to be mekel on pachas mikigris, the gibel rishonim, that wouldn't apply to an aid, even an aid she'eino baduk. So when you go through the Siman, you'll see there are some instances where we bring up, the Ramah brings up, the difference between Gimel Yom Rishonim in later days. For example, the Ramah in Sif Mem Aleph, and if you look in the Shach there, Sif Katan Nun Aleph, the Shach wonders why the Ramah quotes this in some context and not in other contexts here. So you can look that up, but we'll discuss that a little bit more later on. Okay, so those are just a few remaining observations or highlights of the end of Siman Kuf Tzadi and Hilchos Ksamim. And we're going to go on next to Siman Kuf Tzadi Aleph and Isha Sha'asa Tzrecha Adam B'Hashtana. Those of you who haven't yet finished Kuf Tzadi, I would recommend tabling it for the moment, going on to the next sugya, and coming back to it at your convenience. Again, as far as the next sugya is concerned, I'm not going to start it now. I guess we'll start on Monday. But if you haven't yet seen, you should go through the first sugya in the ninth parak, just Mishnah on Daf Natasim and Beis. Gemara Rashi, the top two Tosasim. And when you go through the Beis Yosef, you'll see that there are multiple layers of machloksim in Rishonim here. Not all of it ends up being terribly lemaisa, as we'll see. There's a lengthy Ramah here, so you have to just cheshbon what the shitas are and what the machloksim are. And we'll try to go through that next time and get to the bottom line. And then after that, we will be going back to Siman Kuf Pei Zayin. We're going to skip Roa Machmas Tashmish and just pick up in Siman Kuf Pei Zayin with Sif Hei from there to the end of the Siman and Dam Maka. And then after that, we'll do Siman Kuf Pei Ches. So I guess we'll leave it here for today, and we'll pick up Imritz Hashem on Monday at 5:50 p.m. Of those who chose to respond to my question as to the times that work best, there are more people that are inconvenienced by a Tuesday Chabura than a Monday Chabura, so we'll leave it at the moment on Mondays, unless I get a wave of people who said I forgot to respond and we change that. But for the moment, the next Chabura will be Monday at 5:50.